The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark, Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and Jerry. So it's Stuff You Should Know. The never-ending year.
Man, I am sleepy today.
Yeah.
Got into a little whiskey last night.
Oh, well, that'll make you sleepy.
Really nice bourbon.
What kind?
I can't remember the name of it, but, you know, one of those small batches. I wish I could.
Was it bourbon and not rye?
I'd love to plug it. It was bourbon. It was delicious.
Okay, cool. So
very smooth.
Let me let you know a little known fact.
You've told me this, but tell everyone else.
About rye?
Oh, yeah.
It's a big deal, man. I think we need to spread the word.
Yeah.
So you know all those little small batch distilleries that make rye and they all have these crazy backstories and all that stuff?
I do.
All lies.
I know.
Almost across the board.
Yeah.
Lies. Most of the small batch rye sold in the United States by craft distilleries is made in a single factory in Indiana.
Josh was using a lot of air quotes then, including on Indiana, which I didn't quite get.
And then they sell it to these people who, like, put a new label on it, mark the price, whatever they want, even though it's the same thing. You're drinking, whether it's this craft distillery or that craft distillery, it's literally the same rye.
Yeah.
Put a folksy backstory on, and then you're a chump for buying it. That's not true with bourbon. It's just this rye.
Yeah, yeah.
But a good giveaway is the rye you're drinking, five-year-old rye, and the distillery's only been around since last year, probably a pretty good bet that they bought and rebottled it.
Yeah. And that is a true Josh fact, not like the cigars are supposed to be inhaled when.
Yes.
That's not true.
It's tobacco. What do you think you do with tobacco?
Cigar writers write in. Let's clear this up.
Yeah, man. I will forever stand behind you're supposed to inhale cigars.
No, you're not.
All right.
All right.
I mean, you're just puffing your mouth full of smoke for no reason.
Okay.
Why? Why would you do that? What's the point of that?
I don't know, man.
Well, okay, so not only can you do you have to write in and say, yes, you're just supposed to puff on a cigar and not inhale, you have to explain them what the point of a cigar is.
You know you can read up on this. It's pretty easy.
That's fine.
Okay.
I don't need to read. I know that I'm right.
Okay.
Okay.
So you sit in your flooded yard and inhale cigars all day long.
That's right.
We should just have an episode where we do this and just shoot the breeze.
I think this is called arguing, not shooting the breeze. Shooting the breeze is talking about football scores and the weather and all that stuff.
We could argue about football scores.
Did the Falcons win or did they lose?
Oh, dude, they lost to the Browns.
Yeah, they played the Browns, but it was a close game for a while, right? It was a heartbreaker.
Yeah, terrible, terrible, terrible team. I hate them.
See, that's shooting the breeze.
That's right.
So you mentioned cigars, which actually provides a segue, so let's walk it back to it.
Okay.
There's actually, if you think of cinnamon, which is what we're talking about today.
Yeah, one of our commodity podcasts.
Yeah, which is the original name for the How Stuff Works TV show.
Yeah.
Little known fact.
Very little known.
But if you think cinnamon, you think of, like, you know, you go up to the grocery store and you pick up, like, that metal can of McCormick's and you shake it and it makes that nice hollow tinny sound.
Oh, with the sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, yeah, I guess you can think of ground cinnamon too. I forgot about that stuff. But when you think cinnamon sticks,
sure,
that's what you think of, right?
Yeah.
And you pop the top open and you shake a couple out and you look at them and it's like it looks like a little stick. And if you look really closely, it's like curled, right?
Yeah.
And then like you, put it back in the can and put it back on the store shelves and wipe your hands and go walk away. But what you would probably be surprised to find would be if you dumped one of those out into your hand and it looked kind of like a cigar. Like rather than hollow and curled when you're looking down the barrel, it looks stuffed like a cigar. But if you did see that, what you would have just come across is Ceylon cinnamon, also appropriately known as true cinnamon.
Yeah. Also known as tree bark.
Yeah.
Which to me is the fact of the podcast. I had no idea that cinnamon was tree bark.
Yeah, but think about it. Now that you know that, when you think about what cinnamon sticks look like.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Looks like curled up tree bark, which is exactly what it is.
Man, we could quit now and people have gotten their $0 worth.
I know. It's like lightning in their headphones.
But we won't. Because we're going to tell you more than you ever needed to know about cinnamon. Obviously, the stick form is how you can buy it. You can also buy the powdered form and sprinkle it on some bread with some butter and sugar.
Yes.
Cinnamon toast, delicious.
If you have an orchid that you've ever overwatered, you want to take some scissors and trim off any rotted roots and then dab them in cinnamon.
No way.
And it staves off any infection. I just recently brought an orchid back using cinnamon as an antimicrobial or fungal, I guess.
Emily has made an all-natural flea preventative for our dogs. It's got cinnamon oil, essential oil, and some other, I think, eucalyptus and maybe camphor, and then something that's all distilled or not distilled, but mixed with olive oil and water.
Right.
And it's like all natural. We sprayed on a little bandana and tied around their necks.
Nice. It's also a proven mosquito repellent.
Yeah.
And killer of mosquito larvae.
Uh huh.
And
natural pesticide.
Right. Plus, it's a dynamite name for a pet.
Cinnamon.
Yeah. It's pretty much got it all.
That's pretty good. Again, we could stop here, but we won't.
So cinnamon, the commodity, spice. It has a pretty long history, actually. I read that it first pops up in writing in 2700 BCE.
BCE?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
In a Chinese text about botanical medicines.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Because of all the things we just mentioned you can do with it.
Yeah, and then Moses was messing around with it in the Old Testament.
Yeah, he used it in his anointing oil, his Moses brand anointing oil,
right,
that he got rich off of.
Man, and, he made so much cash.
Egyptians supposedly used it for embalming.
I looked that up because this article was kind of like, isn't that weird? And I think they used it to mask the smell of embalming.
Okay,
during embalming.
That makes a little more sense.
Yes.
Well, that's used in embalming, I guess.
Yeah.
Just as but not as the agent, embalming agent.
Right.
Yeah.
But it may have been part of the embalming agent.
Okay. Well, they definitely used it to when they would burn with funeral pyres, when they would burn bodies, they would use cinnamon because it's so aromatic and pungent.
Yeah.
And dead burning bodies are stinky.
Right, but it was also extraordinarily expensive. Apparently, Pliny mentioned that mentioned that at some point the cost of cinnamon, the equivalent of a pound of cinnamon, would have been 10 months' wages the average Roman.
Yeah.
They used it, but they used it fairly sparingly, which is to say, Nero, the Emperor Nero.
Sure.
Who didn't fiddle while Rome burned, by
nope.
the way.
No.
He burned apparently like a year's supply worth on his wife's funeral pyre.
That's
just basically,
pretty wasteful.
Basically show off, I would guess.
Yeah, I was thinking while I was reading this about how I thought it was kind of funny how spices used to be so, like the trade, and so expensive.
Yeah.
And then when I go to the store, I was like, spices are still kind of expensive, some of them.
Yeah, not 10 months' wages worth.
And no, but
there's not a lot of slavery associated with it.
No, but if you're paying like, I guess it's because of the size of the thing. You're paying like sometimes like $6 for a little.
No, I know what you mean.
Little tiny jar of it.
Right.
Or, what's the,
like compared
saffron,
to-
man?
Yes.
Super expensive.
It is, although Trader Joe's has some for a reasonable price.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, they have a little mini fistful, a baby's fistful, I think is the unit of measurement on the bottle for like $6.
That's super cheap for
not bad.
And I think one of the reasons, spices are still kind of pricey is many of them, including cinnamon, are still, not mechanized. They're still very labor intensive.
Yeah.
To harvest.
Well, the reason cinnamon came down in price, because even still, I think there was one of the Roman emperors decreed, he set maximum prices for the whole Roman Empire. And at the time, that basically meant for the whole world.
Right.
And he set the price at about half or a third of what Pliny said was the peak.
Per baby's
price,
fist.
Right? Yes.
Yeah.
Even still, it was extraordinarily high. Like, you had to be one of the, well, the aristocracy, basically, to afford cinnamon. But then it came down in the late 18th century, by the time the English got into the game. And we'll talk a little more about this right after this. And this is not a message break, so everybody chill out. But it came down in price because originally there's just the true Ceylon cinnamon.
Yeah.
And then people said, well, there's this other cinnamon in Indonesia, and Vietnam hasn't been established as a country yet, but there's still people living here and have been for thousands of years, and they got their own kind of cinnamon. And then there's another kind of cinnamon in China, and all these are types of cassia, but it's so close to cinnamon and even more pungent that everybody in Europe saying, we'll accept this as a substitute. So all prices came down because the supply became more widespread.
Gotcha. So that brings us to a very good point. There are two types of cinnamon, the Ceylon, which you mentioned, and the cassia, which you mentioned. The Ceylon is Southeast Asian native, but it is not the kind that you're going to find in the grocery store, correct?
The Ceylon?
Yeah.
In a really high-end grocery store, you'd find it.
Whoa.
But mostly you'd probably...
And I haven't found it because I don't shop in those places.
Well, you could probably find it at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
But if you're going to spend the money for Ceylon cinnamon, you're probably going to want to buy it in stick form because there's a lot of unscrupulous spice dealers out there. And like they could powder anything and just tell you it is, but you wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah. The street corner spice dealers.
Exactly.
With their knockoff nutmegs.
Yeah, the ones who like open the side of their trench coat like, what do you want? What do you want? I got baby's fist of saffron right here. I got Ceylon cinnamon.
I can take care of you. The cassia is cheaper and stronger in odor and flavor. And those aren't the only types of cinnamon. Apparently, there are more than 100 wild types of cinnamon trees.
Yeah.
All over the world.
Yeah, and there's...
Well, not all over the world, but in many parts of the world.
Right. So there's... And there's true cinnamon, which is in Sri Lanka. And then there's Indonesian cassia. Then there's also Vietnamese cassia and Chinese cassia. And all of those are commercially available. If you're here in the United States or in Canada, you're probably eating cassia.
Right. And when you say true cinnamon, that's just not you being snooty. It's called true cinnamon.
Right.
Yeah.
No. Thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah.
And then if you're in Mexico and Europe, you're probably eating Ceylon. Those are the most popular varieties.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Nice. So I mentioned earlier on one of what I think is the fact of the podcast is that it's tree bark. And how you cultivate it is pretty interesting. And we will detail that right after this message break.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Jeez.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So if you want to get edible cinnamon, it's pretty neat. You basically cut the tree back to a stump,
yeah,
cover it with dirt, and wait a year, and that makes it grow like a bush. And these shoots are going to pop out, and it's going to, if you've ever seen these things online, it looks like it starts to curl already, like off the branch.
Right.
I mean, it looks like cinnamon just waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Because it is. And they strip off that bark and set it out to dry in the sun, and that's when it curls up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the white tree with the real paper-like?
Birch.
Is that a birch?
I think so.
Yeah, it sort of looks like that. Not like pine bark.
Is it a birch? I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think it is a birch.
Birch tree?
Yeah.
They're like
so
real paper.
Pretty.
Yeah, very pretty. And then once you have it dried out, you're going to cut it up into your sticks. And from there, you're going to package it according to what kind it is and like how good it is, basically, how strong it is.
Right. And so that's cassia. For Ceylon, true cinnamon, it's actually the inner bark. So you peel the outer bark off and just like throw it away or light a fire with it or something like that. Then you go after the inner bark.
Yeah.
And for millennia, there was actually one caste in Sri Lanka whose job it was to harvest cinnamon.
Wow.
No one else could do it. Either you were too low on the totem pole or too high on the totem pole. And when the Portuguese came along, because the spice trade had been cut off by the Turks in about 1200, the Portuguese came along, found the source of cinnamon, which is a huge thing, Chuck. Before, everybody just basically thought they fished it out of the Nile. People thought there were cinnamon birds that made cinnamon sticks, and no one had any idea where to get them.
Silly people.
But it was because the traders along the Silk Road were, they'd make up these stories and people would believe it. So finally, the Portuguese find out.
Was that to keep them from finding out?
Yes.
Okay.
And.
Misdirection.
Yes, and to justify the ridiculously high prices of cinnamon.
Oh, sure.
Like, we have to go harvest these sticks from a cinnamon bird's nest and we can get killed, right? So
Very angry.
The Portuguese come along and they're like, well, we can point to at least one inefficiency. How about we enslave all of you and put you all to work rather than just this one caste of your society,
right,
to harvest cinnamon? And that up cinnamon production. But what's funny is it took the Dutch to come along and oust the Portuguese, and then they themselves can continue to enslave the Sri Lankans.
Yeah.
They thought, maybe we could cultivate these trees elsewhere. Like, nobody had thought to take these trees and plant them elsewhere and then expand the supply like that.
Right.
They just figured, well, we'll just let Mother Nature do it. They're like Subaru drivers. They're just leaving it up to Mother Nature rather than cultivating this stuff. It took hundreds
of... Is that their slogan or something?
Hundreds of years. Now, remember there was that stupid commercial where the guy just let his Subaru get dirty when he was like mudding and going camping and hiking and all that stuff. And then he's like, and I don't wash my car. I just leave it up to the universe. And then it starts raining and it like gets all the dirt and dust off of his car.
That's great.
Yes.
Good for him.
You know, Elvis used to shoot the TV when Robert Goulet came on. And when he was really mad, he'd shoot like the toaster oven or the dishwasher or whatever.
Yeah.
But if he was watching TV and Robert Goulet came on, he would shoot his TV.
Did you see that thing I posted on our Facebook page the other day about his drug intake at the
end?
He was prescribed almost 9,000 pills or injectables in the last 3 months before he died.
That's a lot. Like, that would just take up most of your time ingesting all of those.
Yeah, I think I calculated it was something like 30, 35 pills a day or something, or injectables.
It's a lot.
But my grandmother still says, God rest her soul, you know, Elvis's doctors killed him.
Yeah.
And I didn't have the heart to tell her that Elvis was a big fat junkie. You know, she was from Memphis and they like still were like, oh no, his doctors, they just had him going every which way.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Like, no, Elvis really loved taking those pills.
I got you. Yeah. I think you're right.
Yeah. Sort of like the Michael Jackson thing.
Yeah. He liked his milk.
All right. So back to cinnamon.
Oh yeah.
They have a grading system. Called the Sri Lankan grading system, and that divides it into these quills into sizes. The Alba, which is 0.2 inches or less in diameter. The Continental, which is 0.6. Mexican, almost 0.8 inches. And then Zahambog, which is 1.3 inches.
Right.
Around. That's some, a serious quill.
It's like a cigar.
Yeah, and some of these things, they use like circular saws to cut these in production sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
It's super impressive. The Ceylon is sold in quill form, and it's going to have that crumbling texture. It's really easy to grind up. And the cassia is the ground cinnamon that you're going to find in your grocery store, but it's too hard to grind.
Yourself.
Probably. Yeah.
So. It's not entirely true. I ground some up the other day for a tagine recipe I tried.
Probably not powdery, though. Was it still pretty chunky?
It was.
Yeah.
I mean, it broke it down pretty well. After reading this, I was like, well, that explains why I didn't get it all, but
right.
I'm glad I didn't mess up my coffee grinder.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You really can, believe me.
Sure. What'd you make?
Olive and preserved lemon tagine.
Was it good?
It was pretty good. It was hotter than I expected. And I think they should have mentioned that in the
hotter.
Recipe. Like, this is very hot.
Yeah.
Because the preserved lemons I used were hot in and of themselves. Yeah. And so the whole thing was really hot. So Yumi and I are eating and our noses are running.
Yuck, this
we're
is
like,
great.
This is so good, but I can't feel my face anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, but it was good.
Elvis used to shoot his cook when she made things too hot.
Right.
That's not true.
Yeah. He'd also inject preserved lemons.
He probably did. I know he injected peanut butter and banana fluff.
Yeah.
So, well, that brings us to cooking with cinnamon, what you were just talking about. It's a lot of the time it's used in baking here in the States or the quote West unquote.
All right.
Like as a baking, like sugary desserts and stuff like that, or maybe in a drink.
Yeah.
Like a toddy.
Sure.
But,
or like anything at Starbucks.
Yeah, that's true.
They've got that shaker of cinnamon out for a reason. Use it.
But like you were saying, in the East, like an Eastern dish like that, it's used a lot to like flavor meat and curries and stuff.
Yeah, which is kind of in the idea that the West only uses it to sweeten or for desserts or that kind of thing is relatively new. Because during the Middle Ages in Europe, the elite, again, would mm-hmm. use cinnamon especially to cover up preserved meat. And maybe even to preserve meat, but they used it on like meat and savory dishes back when.
Yeah.
Then at some point it made the transition to dessert.
I get it. It's nice on an apple pie.
Yeah.
Or and, cinnamon toast, like I mentioned.
And horchata. That's good stuff with cinnamon.
Mmm. Horchata regular. Right, Jerry? Thumbs up. If you buy cinnamon in the store and you want to preserve it, store it in a glass airtight container would be the best deal.
Oh yeah.
It's going to keep it nice and fresh and flavorful. And it can stay fresh, those sticks, for about a year if you store it right, which is awesome.
If it's ground, it lasts about half of that long.
Yeah, it's I've had cinnamon in my cupboard for a long time.
Oh yeah. And I've got
still,
some ancient sticks.
It's like that and the bay leaves.
Just, yeah.
You know?
The thing is the difference, I think, between like fresh bay leaves and dry bay leaves is significant.
I know, but why do they sell you 30 bay leaves when you need two for any given dish?
Well, I know. I don't know.
I always want to like post on social media like, I'm cooking with bay leaves, so please come by and get some bay leaves.
Yeah.
Because they're just going to end up in the trash.
Right. No, I know. Anytime I've ever gone to your house, you've always given me bay leaves.
Stale bay leaves.
It's kind of what you're known for.
I put a little cinnamon in the in our chili recipe too.
Yeah,
I think the Cincinnati chili is famous for that.
Oh yeah,
chili.
That's right. You told me that.
That's good.
And curries, it's really good in curries too.
Yeah.
Just basically any Indian dish or Bangladeshi dish.
Yeah, a little goes a long way though.
Yeah.
By the way, like just a pinch or so in some of these dishes, you can really taste the flavor. If you overdo it, you're going to be tasting nothing but cinnamon.
Right. If you use kasha.
Yes.
That's another big distinction. I think you already said it, but it's worth touching upon again. Ceylon cinnamon is known to be much subtler,
sure,
and less pungent than kasha cinnamon.
Yeah.
And it's kind of more, it offers a more subtle flavor. So, you actually might want to use kasha for a dish where it could fade into the background.
Right.
And then use your Ceylon for like a tea.
Yeah.
You know,
cause it'll melt right into your teacup there, won't it?
Plus, it may or may not aid in digestion, which is a pretty great segue to this next part, the health benefits of cinnamon, which we'll talk about right after this. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Josh, health benefits. Now, a lot of this in the article says some believe may or may not, but didn't you find some pretty good hard evidence of some of this stuff?
There's been a lot of peer-reviewed studies done on cinnamon that have turned up some pretty awesome things about it.
Yeah, so let's talk about them. Antioxidants, for one, fighting free radicals that damage cells.
Yeah, we should do an episode on that.
Yeah.
There's a whole, so the whole idea that of why we age and why we die eventually is because we get bombarded with like ions and free radicals, like atoms that are unstable and are just bouncing around our bodies and just wearing down cells, and that's why we age and that's why we die. Apparently that's been coming under attack lately.
So, oh, really?
Yeah. So I think we should do an episode on free radicals and I think it's called the free radical theory of aging.
Yeah, that's great because, everyone says antioxidants, but nobody knows what that means.
Right. Well, they're supposedly like, those stabilize.
Right.
Unstable atoms, and so they therefore go after the free radicals and clomp onto them or stabilize them, and then your cell is saved.
Right.
You know? But whether or not that actually does anything or is real, the jury's still out, apparently.
So look for that in 2015.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It is definitely known as an antimicrobial and antifungal.
Yeah, antiseptic as well, antibiotic, astringent. It's got lots of neat properties, but you don't want to like take pure cinnamon essential oil and put it on your skin because.
Or you want to dilute it some.
Yeah, it also can like blister. I mean, it's pretty severe. Emily has it in her shop, and just the smell of it, it's one of those things that it's like, it doesn't even smell like cinnamon. And it's
because it's
oil
so
form.
Concentrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't take much essential oil actually, to have an antiseptic effect.
Yeah.
Apparently, one study found a 10% concentration of cinnamon oil, and the active ingredient, I don't know if we said, is cinnamaldehyde.
Yeah, we did not.
So it's not the only ingredient in there, but cinnamaldehyde's the big boss active ingredient in cinnamon's antiseptic properties, and I think what gives it its taste. But the cinnamaldehyde, or the 10% cinnamon oil concentration, has been shown to kill staph, E. coli, MRSA, strep. Those are some big-time players in making you sick. MRSA.
Heck yeah.
It's apparently been found a 10% dilution can kill other kinds of antibiotic-resistant bacteria.
Yeah.
It's like the real deal.
Totally.
And apparently, did you see that thing on thieves' oil that I sent you from the New York Times?
I did not read that one.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
There's this thing called thieves' oil from the Middle Ages. Apparently, people used to steal jewelry off of dead bodies.
Uh-huh.
And to keep themselves from getting sick,
yeah,
from having to stick their hands literally neck deep into a corpse to get a necklace off.
Sure.
They would use this stuff called thieves' oil. It was like basically a hand sanitizer that consisted of cinnamon, lemon oil, and eucalyptus.
Oh.
And it really worked.
And they would not get sick after they looted bodies.
Yes.
Well, that's nice.
Because they'd have a glove of that stuff on.
We should have saved that for our Christmas episode. 'Tis the season.
Yeah.
It also, cinnamon has something called calmarin. C-O-U-M-A-R-I-N, which is toxic, though. So while cinnamon has a lot of great healthful properties, you can overdo it, and it can cause liver damage, kidney damage.
Yeah.
In dust form, it can cause asthma. There was a study done by workers, not by workers, on cinnamon workers. And I think they studied 40 workers with an average of 4-year service.
Uh-huh.
And 87.5% had some sort of negative symptom.
Like liver, kidney?
No, 9 of them, 22% had asthma.
Oh, wow.
50% irritation of the skin, 37% loss of hair, 22% smarting of the eyes, and 65% loss of weight. That was the most common finding.
So that's the jury's still out on that, on whether or not cinnamon can help you actually lose weight.
Well, it helped them.
Huh.
But I don't think in a good way.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, some people, like, believe you should take tapeworms to lose weight. So,
true.
But whether or not cinnamon actually helps is kind of a, I don't know. The science is still out on it. But there's a little more science to cinnamon being helpful for type 2 diabetes. Because apparently, taking, I think, a gram or something of six grams of cinnamon, which is a decent amount.
Yeah.
With a meal, prevents your food from being digested quickly, so you'll still feel full,
mm-hmm,
but your food doesn't enter, it doesn't hit your bloodstream in a big spike,
right,
which means that your blood sugar levels don't spike either. It's just kind of like it turns your food into like slow release nutrition.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that it could actually be very helpful for people with type 2 diabetes, because it basically arrests the spike in the glycemic index that comes from eating foods.
Are they recommending that at this point, or is it like they're just sort of looking into it?
They're looking into it still.
Okay.
I mean, depending on the website you go to, it recommends it, or else.
Oh, right.
It doesn't seem like anybody's not recommending it. I think if anything, they're including a warning, like, if you're going to do this, use true cinnamon.
Right.
Because cassia is the stuff that has the more coumarin in it. Like, Ceylon cinnamon has 0.017 grams per kilogram.
Yeah.
Of coumarin. But if you get the Saigon cinnamon, which is fairly widespread, which is a type of cassia, it's got 7 grams per kilogram,
wow,
of coumarin, and that's the stuff that can hurt your liver and kidneys.
Gotcha.
So I guess if you're going to add that to your diet as a diabetic, you should probably definitely use the Ceylon cinnamon.
Yeah, and one thing you definitely don't want to do is the cinnamon challenge, like these morons,
yeah,
on YouTube, including the governor of Illinois, who took the challenge.
Rob Blagojevich? Rod Blagojevich?
Is that his name?
Yeah, remember, it was a few years back. He was, they got him for corruption.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was him or not.
He was trying to sell Barack Obama's old seat when he became president.
Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. I don't know if it was him or not.
Rod Blagojevich. Wow, it's almost like you're vomiting the name out.
Peter Bogdanovich?
No, that's easier to say.
Yeah.
Blagojevich.
Don't do the cinnamon challenge. That is a stupid thing on YouTube where I think you're tasked with is it a tablespoon?
Yeah.
Of swallowing a tablespoon of cinnamon.
In a minute.
In a minute, which is not good for you at all.
And harder than it sounds.
In 2012, just the first 6 months of 2012, there were 178 emergency calls to poison control centers around the U.S.
Really?
Because of the cinnamon challenge. And that is because it contains cellulose, and it can lodge in your lungs because your body's not going to break down that cellulose.
Oh.
And Dr. Lipschultz, who was consulted in this article that I read, said it's coated with the caustic cinnamon oil, and it's going to lead to chronic inflammation and eventual scarring of your lungs, pulmonary fibrosis, and he basically says it's equivalent to emphysema. And it can trigger an asthma attack, and if you have bad asthma, it can kill you even.
Plus, also, consuming cinnamon in excess can cause nausea, vomiting, redness of the face, lip swelling.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
And it's tree bark.
Yeah.
It tastes lovely in a pinch, but don't do that. That's stupid.
Don't do what the governor of Illinois does.
Yeah, if it was that same guy, then we can recommend that on many levels. Because he did a lot of dumb stuff.
Yeah. Cinnamon.
That's it. I got nothing else.
If you want to know more about cinnamon, type that word into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And since I said search bar, it's time for
administrative detail.
That's right. We're going to finish up today saying thank you to all of you who have sent us nice things.
Yep.
From postcards to books to music to mug rugs.
Yeah.
We get a lot of stuff and we always appreciate it. So, here we go. Ketra Obalanda for her original artwork. I'm assuming Ketra is a lady, but maybe not.
I believe so.
As part of her Art of Generosity experiment.
And she even said
I remember that.
She's like, I don't need a shout out or a thanks or anything. I'm just doing this as part of Art for Generosity.
Yeah, I think she does. It's like one thing a week, or wasn't there like some rules to it?
There were rules, but I didn't memorize.
It was something like that. And she specifically said not to say thank you, but we're saying thank you.
Thank you. Did she specifically say not to, or say she didn't need one? Because if she said not to, we really shouldn't thank her.
No, I don't think she said not to. I think she said, I really don't need it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We want to give a big thanks to Marty from Hawaii for sending us real Hawaiian sea salt. We got red and black.
Oh, yeah.
From Pacifica, Hawaii.
That's right. I've used that on my food.
Good stuff.
Thanks to Melissa Clymer for sending us the book Free Will by Sam Harris.
Yep. And we've been exercising our free will by not reading that yet. Bam. Peter McGraw and Joel Warner sent us a copy of their book, The Humor Code, and a whoopee cushion. Go check that out, and you can follow them on Twitter, too.
We got a whoopee cushion?
Uh-huh.
I just thought that was Holly from Stuff You Miss in History Class.
I know you thought that. Everyone knows you thought that.
Emily and Flavia for the IKEA postcard and the well wishes.
Yes, Tyler Murphy has sent us a bunch of stuff.
He's the man.
Yes, he is the man. He sent us a copy of the DVD CSA, Confederate States of America.
Yeah.
Sent us the book, The Mind of Adolf Hitler, which is a very hard-to-find World War II era analysis, like psychoanalysis of Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
And a very nice letter. And a half pound of Dark Canyon Highlander Grog Coffee, which is the bomb.
Yeah, Tyler's awesome. He's a teacher as well, which means he's super cool. And he works at Putt-Putt over the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Like Pirate's Cove or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what do you do? He's like, hand out the putters and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like a great job.
That place is great.
Congratulations to Mina Nguyen and Blake Rosendahl on their wedding.
Yeah.
And they invited us, and we appreciate that, and we're sorry we couldn't make it.
Yeah. Elliot Nisbodziani, who is actually from Adult Swim PR.
Oh, yeah.
They sent us the Rick and Morty episodes and one of my prized possessions, the Book of Boring Science stuff.
It's pretty great.
That you open up a couple of pages and bam, it's carved out. There's a Rick and Morty flask inside.
That's right. And I've got that sitting on my bar at home.
Nice.
Thank you to Andrew Goch.
Goff.
Goff.
It's one of the two.
Goof.
I would say Goff.
Andrew
Goof.
Goof. He sent us coffee too from the Reverie Coffee Roasters.
Yeah,
and we like our coffee.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andrew. Joanna and Jaren from Boogie Board Jot 8.5 inch LCD e-writers. All three of us got those. That was a huge present.
Yeah, I've got that on my fridge, actually.
Yep.
Because it's magnetic.
Yes, it is.
Thomas Shaw, thanks for the illustrations that your brother made.
Yep.
They were really awesome, and you can go to imagineillustration.com to check those out.
We got two more. One, Bethany Jones of the Base Element from Ontario gave us five types of handmade caramels. They were delicious. We got them a long time ago.
Yeah.
We ate them a long time ago. There was fudge, vanilla, fleur de sel, and ginger, and then cinnamon fudge. And they were awesome. I recommend them. You can go to the.base.element@gmail.com. And by go to, I mean email that address.
Yeah.
And then lastly, Kayla Bowler from Roanoke, Indiana, sent us some beautiful cobalt blue ceramic mugs that unfortunately arrived in a million, billion, trillion pieces.
Yeah, he knows too. He was like, they broke, didn't they? I went, yep.
Oh, man. I think you need a new word to describe what happened to those things. Broke doesn't say it.
Yeah, huge thanks to Brian Bishop.
Man, yes.
He is. He actually works with Adam Carolla,
yeah,
fellow podcaster,
yep,
and went through cancer and wrote a book called Shrinkage, Manhood, Marriage, and the Tumor That Tried to Kill Me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really funny book. It's got a foreword by Adam Carolla. And Brian is just super awesome. It made us feel good that he listens to our show.
Yeah.
Because he's a big shot
in podcasting.
So thank you very much for that, Brian.
I've got another one, too. Garrett Nice just sent us some homemade brownies.
Yes. Garrett is, I think he's like 11 or 12 years old.
Garrett, that is very nice of you.
I think he baked them himself. He also had some other things to offer. I can't remember, but it was like brownies or his own pancake batter or something weird like that.
That is nice of Garrett Nice.
Yeah, and my final one is thanks, as always, to Little Bit Sweets.
Oh, yeah.
Handmade Candy in Brooklyn, New York. They've been friends and supporters for years, and they are growing, and they are awesome.
Yep. You can visit them at Chelsea Market.
Yeah, go to Chelsea Market or just go to look up Little Bit Sweets on the internet and buy some of their delicious, delicious candy and candy bars.
Yeah, man, their honeycomb candy is as addictive as it gets.
Yeah, and I've said it a million times. The King Bar, to me, is the best candy bar on planet Earth.
It's a good one.
So good.
All right, so that's it for administrative details. We are cleared out. No one send us anything, unless they're Christmas cookies, I guess, for the rest of the year.
Mona.
So we can start over again fresh in 2015. Okay. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow. You can send us an email to StuffPodcast@HowStuffWorks.com. And as always, join us at our home on the web, StuffYouShouldKnow.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Childproofing people's homes is hard, but Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.